Do you lead an organization, a business, a company, a nonprofit? Imagine if your people delivered truly inspired performance day in and day out. Well, it can happen. The challenge lies in knowing what motivates your people. That's where SEMA International comes in. They unlock the mystery and the magic of human motivation. To learn more, visit SEMAInternational.com. S-I-M-A International. For 50 years, they're experts in retained search, talent management, and personalized coaching. Check out SEMAInternational.com.
Well, in following with that final commercial, it's a pleasure, as always, to welcome my partner and colleague from SEMA International, Marlis Hansen. How are you today, Marlis?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Very good. How's the dog sitting going?
Well, it's good exercise anyway.
Yeah, well, I dovetail off our friend Randy Aronson, of course, who comes to us beforehand, our radio pet vet. So there's nothing like our furry friends keeping us level, right?
That's right.
Well, we wanted to tee up a fun subject. I mean, many times we talk on this show about playing to people's motivated abilities, and sometimes conversations have a bias towards talking about managers, but that actually every organization really runs based on those are hardworking individual contributors in many ways. In fact, of course, our frequent listener, Linda, who has as her internet address, Worker Bee Linda, wanted us to spend some time on that whole space about becoming and being and enjoying and being appreciated as an individual contributor.
Right. And to remember that when we say individual contributor, this refers to how the person relates to others in achieving their life work activities. Just the way they connect with and interact with others in performing the work itself. And also it's sometimes useful to contrast the individual contributor to other forms like, as we call it, the influencer. And this is a person who prefers to influence others to take action as opposed to taking the action themselves.
In
that category, you might find people like ourselves who teach and counsel, who sell or facilitate or coach, in some way influence other people to take action. That's their preferred style. And then a third major grouping would be the manager leader. Person, that individual really prefers to take responsibility for the overall outcome of an activity and to oversee or in some way take some level of control or leadership of that event.
Well, I think it's interesting that you've introduced this second, or actually that we have three elements. Many
right.
times feel there's the manager and then the non-manager. And you're
right.
saying, well, wait a minute, there is the manager-leader role, the individual performer certainly, but this whole role of influence, which actually can span both of the other two, too.
Yeah, and it is beginning, I believe, to be an even more prevalent role in organizations as we find a lot of project leaders in that influencing role that have some, oversight responsibility, perhaps for a process, but not exactly the traditional oversight for managing staff.
Meaning their career development, their performance reviews.
Right.
Instead you're the steward of the budget or the overarching goals.
That's right.
Well, today we wanted to speak specifically on that whole individual performance role, and I'm sure we'll bump into the other two. And it's a role, by the way, that we all play at some point in time, even those who eventually become managers or those who grow into be stronger influencers. But it's also a role that I think many people are finding themselves even after having been in the management role, too, with how organizations are shaping and shifting.
Yes, and it's important to remember that this is not always an either-or, either.
Right, right.
That many people have in their, motivation the sense of wanting to perform individually, and they also may be an influencer, or they may be an influencer and a manager leader. So, this is a kind of a continuum, not necessarily a box.
Well, and I would also say, like we've often said, that those kind of attributes show up with us regardless where we are. It's sort of like, you raise a good point that I might be a manager leader during the day, but there's nothing that gives me greater joy, and I know that sounds really scary, but to do the dishes by myself at the end of the evening because you're kind of unwinding from things.
Yes, and so there's a different purpose for for that activity too. So it's very hard to be just black and white with these things, but we do know that you know, there are these sort of major areas of focus that individuals have, and if they can honor that in you know, selecting and performing their work, they're going to be, you know, a whole lot happier. And if you take the individualist itself, you know, kind of take it out of those three categories, but just zoom in on the individualist, you find there's even a continuum in that arena. Mm. And if you think of at one end of that continuum of the individualist, there is the person who we say is a solitary performer. And I know that sounds like perhaps a negative connotation to that, but actually it's not. And we find any number of individuals who really want to function behind the scenes or at a distance, yes, from other people. And even though they might appreciate, you know, periodic discussion or engagement with others, they really prefer to work alone whenever possible. And it's not so much that they want to be removed from social life or whatever, but it's that they want the solitude, mm-hmm, that enables them to, you know, retain their commitment and just not to be distracted,
right,
by other people.
Right.
From doing what you love. My daughter is an artist, and this is very much her motivation, that she wants to do her work alone and not being distracted, and then she comes out and wants people to see it. But the actual performing of the work is in more of a solitary kind of role.
Or the same way for musicians or,
yes,
or writers. But then and again, there are those that like to write, and they much prefer sitting in a very busy, hectic coffee shop because it's feeding them in a different way.
Right. Yeah. So, again, we can't stereotype the profession just because of, you know, to say that they're all this way. We're just saying that this is a profession that sometimes you find individuals like this, but it can be any kind.
Yeah. Well, why is it, do you think, that this whole motivation is challenging if you work in an organization? You know, why, how is it we've come to that, that people want to really be individual, strong performers, and yet it results in so many challenges of being marginalized or not appreciated or you don't have a voice?
Well, the fact of the matter is that the setting is an organization.
That's true.
That there are people around you. You know, it's not you're not working alone in your studio or, you know, say you're a beautician working on a client or whatever. You do have this whole entourage in the organization that has to be interacted with. And so it's only natural then, I think, that for most of us, we feel that push toward roles that involve others, you know. And even for the strong individual performer, we often see that they are encouraged to move into roles where they are the team leader, mm-hmm, or the director, or, you know, on up the ladder, so to speak, even though they may not be motivated to perform in that role.
And so what happens is, of course, if they get pushed or feel society is requiring them to do that to maintain their stature or whatever else would make them feel compelled to be, you know, that magnet, that, you know, lo and behold, in time, it'll start eroding potentially their confidence, certainly their ability to perform, and then also just this whole, you know, missing the joy of it all.
That's right. And we see that so often in situations like the teacher, the really, yeah, excellent teacher who is sort of pushed by quote career opportunity to become an administrator in the school system, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then you run the risk, unless the person is so you know, is appropriately motivated, you run the risk of sort of losing the good teacher and gaining a poor administrator.
Yeah, so it's a lose-lose on both accounts.
Right. And of course, you know, you've seen this so much in the engineering world.
Absolutely. Technical world, it's obvious. Or you see in the nursing field
very good example of that, of taking the incredibly talented nurse who's very motivated to interact and work with her patients or his patients, and they removed them just as a reward for their performance into another role that takes them away from what it is they're really gifted at and probably puts them in an arena that is out of their element.
Mm-hmm.
So this misunderstanding is you know, a major issue and keeps, you know, a lot of us busy with consulting work because it's so prevalent.
So now, so how do we advise, Marlis, in your perspective, again, this first off, helping people understand that this is something they should celebrate, not hide, but then equip them to leverage this motivation of wanting to be an individual performer in the right way?
Well, I think, to be most effective, it is great if it can start early. You know, even in the work that we've done in the 7th and 8th grades and in high school, we really are trying to get the students to explore. Not to cast them in one way or another, but get them to explore different roles and see how they feel about performing these roles. Because one of the things that we find when we work with employees who are, they want to get into management. They see that as a career opportunity, and they may not be motivated for it. And one of the things that they say repeatedly is, well, I've never had a chance to try.
Mm-hmm.
How do I know if I'm not a manager if I've never had a chance to try? So we really, want to encourage students, and we want parents to encourage their children to explore different roles, because actually, when we look at the motivational patterns of individuals who are very motivated for, say, manager leader roles, we see they have expressed this early in their lives, in their families. They've taken leadership roles with their siblings. At school, they've been the patrol guards, and they've been the head of the activities, and they've had the responsibility for setting up whatever. You know, they've already found ways to express this motivation, right?
Or they've been in the high school band and find themselves now indeed being asked to be the lead of their particular section of music. Yeah, I'm absolutely certain my brothers would tell you I was destined for this from the age of probably 4 because I was always bossing them around.
We have so many stories like that.
Oh, yeah. You can run, but you can't hide, let me tell you, folks.
So exploring.
So start young and helping those in our wake to start young and to test it out. And
right.
That perhaps when they find a situation where maybe being the leader wasn't the right thing, that's okay. This was not intended to judge. But the next time, maybe you're going to stay then and be the first chair as opposed to the organization of the whole area.
Right. And another piece of this is if the subject matter and the other pieces of the activity are aligned with your motivation, you're going to be much more likely to play a lead role. It's mm-hmm. going to be a more natural kind of thing because you'll lead from your expertise and you'll lead from your knowledge. And we see that in technical people, especially, that even though they may not be as motivated to work, to supervise per se, they can play a lead role in a project or in an activity just working from their expertise and maybe their motivation to explain or to teach.
Absolutely. They become the go-to person on
right.
advanced thermodynamics or the go-to person in a community of people that are artisans to be the one that really understands how to mold the metal a certain way.
That's right. So they move down that continuum a little ways from the individual into the influencer kind of arena, but not with the idea of fully moving to a manager leader, but in terms of sort of developing what they have and meeting the organization's needs and leveraging the talent that is really theirs, the gift that is theirs.
Well, and in fact, what you find many times when you talk to people who lead a lot of individuals, I mean, I'll speak to my own experiences. Here I was sitting in Connecticut on the day that the first Joint Strike Fighter was taking off on the flight line, and my engineers, who are multiple layers deeper in the enterprise, they were on the flight line. They call me on their cell phone, and they say, "Hey, Z, listen to this." And I could hear the rush of the jet engines running, which we were responsible for a significant contribution to. And I'm sitting here in my office thinking, what did I do wrong? What am I doing sitting here, man? Can I dial back that tape, please? Get me on the I want to be back on the flight line. So for all of you who are listening that are individual contributors thinking all is dandy up there, let me tell you, there are times that I sit there and say, well, what was I thinking?
Right, and which speaks to the fact that you have a number of relationship styles in your motivation, so you can move from one to the other. But that doesn't always mean that a given job satisfies all those
precisely.
Areas.
That's precisely right.
We might talk for just a minute about the individual who really is not only an individual contributor, strongly in that end of the continuum, but also maybe other pieces of their pattern would lend that toward their performing individually.
Yeah, let's cover that.
where, and this would be kind of the individual who maybe doesn't have a lot of motivation for influencing or confronting others or involving others or strategizing, even for structuring kinds of things. I mean, they're really want to perform a fairly well-defined task, and perhaps they want instructions or directions, and they really want the work to be something that reflects their own talents. Even when they're functioning as part of a team, they really want that to be significant, that whatever they produce. So mm-hmm. this is really the strong, not only the strong individualist, but other parts of their pattern also keep them focused on a task.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you say, okay, so how do they work in an organization? How does this work for them? Well, for some individuals, we certainly see them in a profession where expertise is key, right?
Right.
Where they really build up expertise in a given arena. And again, in the technical world, you can see this. You can see it with lawyers. You see it with consultants, teachers. I mean, you can. The expertise is key.
You also see it in the food service industry, where someone who is
yes.
the chef, as opposed to being
yes.
the person that greets the guests, or the vice versa.
Right. So almost every industry has these strong individuals, and I think of when I was at Lawrence Livermore National Lab, we had technicians who were responsible for developing prototypes,
mm-hmm.
and they were very individualistic.
And on top of that, for those of us that were the engineering leaders, if we were smart, we knew we didn't go anywhere without the right cadre of technicians. And in fact, many times, given the opportunity, you wanted to hire three more technicians as
That's
opposed
right.
to one more engineer.
That is very true. And for a while, I was responsible for hiring technicians, and I'll tell you, that was a more difficult job than hiring engineers, to find, you know, the really qualified, talented person who had devoted their career to some niche that we needed.
Mm-hmm. And had the bandwidth.
And had the bandwidth, right.
And actually, they became more of the teachers of the engineers than the engineers knew to appreciate. The same with the employees that build vehicles on the assembly line, or mm-hmm. components in a factory, or are so core to the assembly of what the end product can be for your customers.
And I think the challenge is, does the organization really offer a career opportunity for these individuals? I mean, that was always our challenge with the technicians. And we would say, oh, yes, we have a career ladder, you know, that is for the individuals. And they'd say, oh, but it's not a ladder, it's a stool.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so I think that's the challenge for organizations is to really understand and respect the contribution that these individuals make.
And value it and then demonstrate it publicly. I had the opportunity
right.
to speak with a new client this week and tour their organization. And when I started asking them, just kind of interesting, their compensation structure, and found out that they gave out stock to every single employee, down from the top officers to those who greeted me in the lobby and gave me my badge.
Very good.
And bravo. Because that's exactly this idea of building, organized. And by the way, Marlis, this is my subject, relates equally to how we treat people in not-for-profit situations and academic settings in our community service areas, that none of us can get on along as an individual. It really is that big whole perspective, and taking good care of, appreciating, hiring, and moving forward the careers, perhaps in a different way, of those who are the worker bee Lindas. Thank you, Linda. It's so inherent to building and maintaining the hive, I'll say.
Absolutely.
That's great. Well, Marlis, thank you so much. This has been a rich conversation. Those interested in learning more, you can visit SIMA International, S-I-M-A, international.com, and certainly also connect with Marlis directly. She'll be back again next month. Thanks a lot, and have a great day with your puppy there.
Okay, thanks
right.
so much. You
thanks
take
for,
care.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.